Covetousness is real, and it's a cancer, and it's in the church.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In today's world, the attention of many is focused on the economy, and there are good and valid reasons for doing that, since in today's modern world, it can be said that if the economy is doing badly, most everything else will be doing badly as well. But in the message we will hear tonight from Pastor Brian Grant, we will learn from one man's experience how it is that riches and material possessions cannot guarantee a fulfilled and happy life. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to the book of 2 Kings at chapter 5 and follow along with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, How to Get True Riches. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A man went to visit the pastor at a Lutheran church. Pastor, he said, my dog died and I'd like to have a Christian funeral for him. The pastor replied and said, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear about your dog, but we Lutherans don't do funerals for dogs. He said, you might want to try the Baptist church down the road because they're much more flexible than we are. Well, the man, he was disappointed and he said, Pastor, I'm so disappointed to hear, but I appreciate your telling me about the Baptist church. I'll go and try them. But he said, just help me with this one thing. I'm thinking of giving a donation to the church for in honor of my dog. He said, I was thinking of giving about $10,000. Do you think that's enough? The pastor said, wait a minute. You didn't tell me your dog was Lutheran. Well, like that fictitious pastor, most Americans would love to get $10,000, which was the amount being offered. $10,000. For many of us dream of getting rich. And today I want to share a message with you entitled, How to Get True Riches. You know, this is graduation season. It's a time filled with hope and a time filled with great promise. And I believe that God is giving us this message at this particular time to help the graduates make sure they put some guardrails into their lives just to make sure they stay on track. And at the same time, I believe God has a message for those of us who have graduated a while and we're in our careers right now, because there is something here that God does not want us to miss. So whether you're young or old, I pray that you will make sure you stay focused today on what God has to tell us today. You know, if I were to do a survey of the five deadliest temptations, I believe what I'm about to talk to you about today would not make the cut of the five deadliest temptations. But as I prepared for today's message, I became convinced that what we're about to talk about is one of the deadliest of all temptations. But it's a temptation that's rarely talked about in churches today. In fact, if I'll be honest with you, I had jumped right over this text and had moved on to chapter 6 when the Lord pulled me back to this text in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27. So he wants us, I am confident, to consider this text as we talk about the sin of covetousness. What is covetousness? Many of us don't even realize that this is one of the Ten Commandments, do not covet. But covetousness is greed. And if you're taking notes, you write that down. Covetousness is greed. It is a craving for material possessions and to get what other people have. Well, I hope you heard me. Covetousness, pure and simple, is greed. It is craving. It's a craving for material possessions and to get what other people have. Let me make it plain. It's what makes you buy some stuff you hadn't even thought of buying until your friends posted they had bought it on Instagram and Facebook. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of stuff is getting bought because somebody else had it, bought it, and they posted about it, and we just had to make sure we have it too. It's why commercials urge us to keep buying more and more stuff. And more recently, they've been using this little phrase, you should buy it because you deserve it. Oh, have you ever noticed it? You deserve everything. You know, covetousness is this issue of coveting and greed is so insidious, it's all over the Christian church. Oh, I've actually watched pastors who tell you about their Rolls Royce and their mansion, and they let you know the reason they have a Rolls Royce and a mansion is because they gave so generously to God's word. And every Christian ought to be rich. And if you're not rich, it's because you're not giving to God. You see, the whole idea is the more you give, the more you get. And because the objective is to get as much as you can. We in the Christian church, if we're not careful, we're becoming one of the biggest ones pushing greed, pushing covetousness, despite the fact that God makes it clear, thou shalt not covet. One of the greatest examples of covetousness in the scriptures is right here in 2 Kings chapter 5. So I want to take time to examine this text to see what lessons we can learn from 2 Kings 5 regarding this great subject of covetousness. Let me share with you three things about a coveting heart this morning. Three things about a coveting heart, and if you prefer, three things about a covetous heart. When last you heard about a message about covetousness? Well, you're about to hear one this morning. Three things about a coveting heart. Number one, write this down in your notes. It will make us compromise our values. A coveting heart will make us compromise our values. And before you say this message is not for me, you better pay attention, because I believe many of us are very guilty of this sin of covetousness. Here we go. 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 20. But Gehazi, Gehazi, that's how I grew up saying it, so let me be consistent. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. By the way, let me just pause here to say it's very interesting that Elisha, Gehazi, makes sure he mentions that Naaman is a Syrian, is his enemy. So he's going to be able to justify his greed because this Syrian deserves to pay up. The devil always wants us to, gives us a reason to believe we are justified with our greed. He said he has speared Naaman, this Syrian. That had no place there. While not receiving from his hands what he brought, but as the Lord lives. Oh, he's even being spiritual about it. As the Lord lives. Oh, I told you the preachers are being spiritual about the greed. He's being spiritual. As the Lord lives, I'll run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and said, it is all well. And he said, all is well, but my master Elisha has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. If you remember, Elisha, God's prophet, had healed Naaman of his leprosy, this deadly disease. And Naaman was a powerful and a rich man, and he had offered Elisha, the prophet, over $5 million in today's money in silver and gold, plus a lot of designer clothes, I'm going to call them that. But Elisha had refused everything, for God's grace is free. Amen. But Elisha, after Elisha had said no, Gehazi, he decided this man ought to pay. So he ran after him and he lied. And as the story continued, his lies got even bigger. Listen, greed will make us compromise our values. Whenever we get too enthralled with money and material things, watch out. My Christian friend, anytime you're too enthralled with money and material things, watch out, because your coveting heart is soon going to cause you to compromise your values. Perhaps it's happening to you right now. You're listening this morning, either here in the sanctuary or by the live stream. Listen, when we get too in love with money and material things, it's going to make us compromise our values. You know, Christians know that smoking weed to get high is wrong. But you know, I've met many Christians in recent times who are quite willing to be a part of a marijuana store. You see, if they can find a way to make money off of marijuana, although they know a number of the people are coming there, are getting the stuff to get high, we will compromise our values because we're going to make money. You know, most Christians know that gambling is wrong. Oh, I know I'm stepping on somebody's corn this morning. Oh, I hope it hurts you. Because now that casinos are easier to get to, you're finding that Christians are sitting at the roulette wheel and pulling the one-armed bandit. Of course, if the lotto jackpot ever get to a certain number, we're spending half of our salary playing the lotto. May God have mercy on us. Listen, greed is causing many Christians to compromise their values. And what the great tragedy is, it is seeping into the church. One of the brothers in this assembly, he told me he went to visit a church. It's not in this state, so you need not try to guess which church it was. He went to visit this church, and they had a drawing. You say, what do you mean a drawing, Pastor? Every Sunday morning, they had a drawing and they spiritualized it like Gehazi. We love to spiritualize these things. They had a drawing for the hundredfold blessing. You see, anybody whose envelope was drawn got 100 times whatever offering they had put in their envelope. Can you imagine that? They literally had gambling going on in church and had blessed it under the name, the hundredfold blessing. And that pastor, he knew, because there are 6,000-7,000 people who came every week. If he could get everybody giving at a $3,000 or $100 or $1,000 level, looking for that 100,000 hit. You know, if you give $1,000, you got 100,000 right away. Well, if 7,000 people gave $1,000, he'd have had $7 million. And he'd paid out is 100,000. What a scam. I hope by now the government has caught up with him and made him realize it's pure and simple gambling going on in the house of God. Listen, this business about greed, covetousness is real, and it's a cancer, and it's in the church.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Young person, I beg you, as you graduate, I beg you, listen, even if your parents gamble, I beg you, don't go down that road. It's a dangerous road. It's a road that will destroy you and your family. I could tell you stories about so many people who have lost every single thing they have because of greed and because they got into this business of gambling. Listen to what Jesus had to say in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 15. And I'm going to put that for you on the screen. Luke 12, 15. Take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things they possess. Write this in your notes. Possessions will never give you true riches. Young man, be very careful what career you pursue. Don't allow anyone, and parents may be upset if I tell you this, but don't even allow your parents to encourage you to pursue a career just because of the money it will bring you. You make sure you pursue a career based on what God is encouraging you to do, because possessions will never give you true riches. A coveting heart will make us compromise our values. But secondly, a coveting heart, put this in your notes, will lead us into all kinds of evil. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 23. So Naaman said, "Please, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and handed them to 2 of his servants. And they carried them on ahead of him. And when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master Elisha." Gehazi is now before his master Elisha. And Elisha said to him, "Where do you go, Gehazi? And he said, "Oh, your servant did not go anywhere." Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing?" And I'm going to stop there for a moment. Gehazi said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." He started with a lie. My master wants some of the stuff. And now he is gone. He's lying in the house of God. Listen good. I don't know if you remember this little rhyme. "Oh, what a tangled web we weave." Anybody knows that one? Help me with it. "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." When we have a covetous heart, it's much more deadly than we think. Write this down. Coveting puts us on a slippery road that takes us to places we never intended to go. I want to put this scripture on the screen because this is one I want you to make sure you make a note of. And this is something that would be good to memorize. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Here's what it says. "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation." I hope you're noticing that. People who what? People who help me out. People what? Who long to be rich. It's not saying people who are rich. You may never get rich, but if you're one of those who have this desire, this longing to be rich, God is warning you. Do you realize God can make you rich without your longing to be rich? That the blessings of the Lord can make you rich without your desiring to be rich. God is warning us that those who have this desire, this longing to be rich, they fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And don't miss what God says here. Young people, listen to what God is saying. "For the love of money is what? The root of all kinds of evil." Oh, I hope you saw that. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Listen, the apostle is warning the Christian church, and he's saying many of the Christians who have fallen in love with money, they're craving money, they have wandered from the faith. coveting puts us on a slippery road that takes us to places we never intended. It leads us into all kinds of evil. In 1991, James Patterson and Peter Kim published a book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. The book gave the results of a survey in which Americans were asked this question: what would you be willing to do for $10 million? Now, since this was all the way back in 1991, I'm going to update it, and I'm going to suggest $10 million in 91 is like perhaps $20 million today. So if I might change their title, what would Americans do for $20 million? Here were the results. Do you want to hear the results? Do you really want to hear the results are shocking. 25% of Americans would abandon their entire family. 25% would abandon church. 23% would become prostitutes for a week. I'm not making this up. 7% of Americans who responded said they would kill a stranger if you would give them the money. 3% said they would put all their children up for adoption. Those results sound outrageous, don't they? But what would you do for $20 million? Oh, I have a feeling you may do some stuff that right now you weren't even thinking about. The Bible tells us, when we are in love with money, it leads us into all kinds of evil. The truth is, some of you listen to me this morning, you have already abandoned your church. Because although your name is still on the roll, there are people listening to me this morning who hardly ever show up at church. You hardly are involved in anything at your church because you're so focused on making money. Some of you have already abandoned your kids. They hardly see you. You've already abandoned them. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And God is warning us this morning that when we give into greed and materialism, we have no idea how far we will go. It's a slippery road, and it will take us to places we never intended to go. And so God is saying to you, and he's saying to me this morning, watch out. It's time to turn. It's time to admit that I am in love with money. And it's time to say, God, I am turning away from the path I am on. I'm God. I'm going to seek for the true riches.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.